Today's scripture continues the prophecy from Isaiah, from chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you would pray for me and with me at this time. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. You, O Lord, are our strength and our redeemer. As we begin this season of Advent, we pray that you would speak to us. Help us to know the way that we should live, the things that we are called to do, and in so doing, find the joy of the celebration of your birth. In Christ's name, amen. Some of you are good to go this morning. You have started playing your Christmas carols in October, and you do not need this sermon, and I'm aware of it. You may leave at this time. Others of you find this season more difficult, and that's really who the sermon is preached to. So if you walk out and you look at your friend or your spouse or whoever it is that you're walking with, and you just say, wow, that sermon wasn't for me, just look at that person and say, congratulations, I'm very glad. But just know that I think that there are other people for whom it may be helpful, and I've had a sense that that's what I should do, so I did. I was driving home recently from our Thanksgiving celebration, and the woman on the radio, God bless the people on the radio. What a volume of time they have to fill, right? I mean, I'm listening to this for hours as I'm driving, and I'm just thinking, poor you. You guys, she has to keep talking, and just, I know you're thinking, that's what you do, Tom, but not for that long. Honestly, I'll take this time slot over hers any day of the week. It's just hard to be insightful every 10 minutes. And she kept talking about, what are we going to do with our turkey? And, and after Thanksgiving. And then she started on this thing about the Christmas spirit and how she really hoped she would get the Christmas spirit. And frankly, the more she talked about it, the more elusive it sounded. She had a whole list of activities that she was planning that she thought would help capture that Christmas spirit. But it just, you could tell there was something in her tone. She was exhausted before she ever started. And as she talked about these plans and things that she had to do, now that Thanksgiving was over, it was evident to me that she was chasing something that she had not found for some time. She was chasing light. And the more I listened to her, the more sympathetic I became. Christians are in a season called Advent. It's different. It's a different season. I don't know what that woman's faith was. I don't know. She seemed like a very nice person. I don't know, but she never talked about her religion. But Christians, we're in a season called Advent. It's from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming, as in a journey. Like, we're coming to your place for Christmas this year. Journeys always require preparation. There's packing, there's planning. Things must be done before we take a journey. Adventus, to come, to prepare. The notion is travel. During Advent, Christians prepare for the promised coming of the Messiah to the Jews. Christians prepare for the coming of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, but the primary focus of our Advent is not an event which happened in the past, as much as that takes a center space this season. More important for us, Advent speaks to the preparation of our lives for the promised return of Christ in his final coming, the culmination of history. And it also speaks, Advent speaks to preparing the hearts of believers, it speaks to sanctification, the perfecting work of the Holy Spirit in our soul, the ongoing work of becoming more like Jesus, the challenge. Advent, we believe, started in the 4th century in France, so you're in the years of the 300s. Think about how long ago that is. The 300s. Wow. That's why some of our best Advent hymns sound like they came from a monastery a long time ago. That's because they did. O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. Ancient, ancient music sung this time of year. Sung because it was a season of longing, a season of waiting, a season also of light, where candles mark the journey. This week, first week of Advent, one candle. Next week, second week, two candles. Third candle, this candle in the center. Do you know what we call this? The Christ candle. We light it. We wait. We wait. The acolytes. There will be acolytes in the month of December. Let me make a prophetic moment. Acolytes will be asking us, but can't I light the big one in the center? And the answer is no. You have to wait to light the big one in the center, in the middle. Why? Because we're waiting, we're preparing, there's a journey. But in ancient times, they didn't have lights in the sanctuary, and so in a dark month of December, when the clouds are often in the skies, see, but we are post-incandescent light bulbs, so we don't even know what this is like. We are electrical switches, so we don't even remember what it's like. And I wish at this moment I would have them shut all the lights off, but in the sanctuary, sadly, if you shut all the lights off, it takes time to reboot them, and it's also bad for the bulbs, so we don't do that. So if you had darkness, you would understand the importance of this one candle. And then when we doubled it next week and there were two, people would come to church. They, it's the two candle. Why? Because we also wouldn't have had much money. So to use two candles, that would have been a big deal. Three candles. We'd feel the progression in ways that we don't because of all these lights up here. It's always been a season of restraint, a season of contemplation in the fourth century. In the fourth century, they would have focused on the reading and proclaiming of Scripture, the singing of sacred music. O come, Emmanuel. That longing. Because they knew that they were living more in darkness than in light. Now, if you took Christians in those days in the fourth century and plopped them into the United States today, they would not know what hit them. They would have no more idea of our celebration of Christmas. They would not know what we were doing, and yet they might be able to tell us where it came from. In fact, I think they would smile. I think they'd smile to be here, you know, 800 years later. 800 years later, I think they'd look around and go, oh, wow, Rome is still with you. Because many cultures had celebrations that happened or revelry that happened during seasons of darkness. So Rome had what they call Saturnalia. And Saturnalia happened with the winter solstice. So you know the winter solstice, it's when the sun is over the southern hemisphere. And so you have the least amount of light in the northern hemisphere. So if you originally came from the southern hemisphere, it reverses. But in North America, this time of year, it's the shortest daylight. Rome, northern hemisphere predominantly. And they had this season called Saturnalia, typically at the end of December, about a week, and it was marked by revelry and the suspension of the rules. So some historians say the courts weren't even in session in that week of the year, that everything was in bounds, out of bounds. And, you know, it goes back to what my mom taught us when we were kids, is that nothing good. There's always been this connection between darkness and bad human behavior, right? So mom used to say, yes, you need to be home by 11, but why do I have to be home by 11? Because nothing good ever happens after midnight. Did your mom ever say that? Hey, if you're a parent, you need to learn this. Seriously, like if some of you don't know this, that's your problem. Okay, here it is. Nothing good ever happens after midnight is what Mom said. What is it about darkness that brings out the more base tendencies of human behavior? But hasn't that been true for all of us? And as a society, Rome had this season of Saturnalia. The Vikings, the Norse people, they had the same type of deal this time of year where they would have this festival and all the bad stuff happened. And maybe that's because the darkness was so thick. And so many believe that Christmas was placed on December 5th to reorient that Roman celebration. That season of Advent was used to change the focus of the faithful in the weeks prior to the celebration of Christ's birth, to use the celebration of Christ's birth, not that Jesus was born on December 25th, but to say we might as well celebrate it at some time of year. Why not convert this festival? That's what many historians say happened. And then focus on his second coming to say, what's the world we want to live in? A world of justice, a world of love, a world of compassion, a world of mercy. This is what we're longing for, not what we've got here. But if we took those Christians from the fourth century and dropped them here, I think they would look around and go, oh no, the old stuff's still with you. What is Black Friday but a Viking festival? I mean, think about it. Very predictable tales of Black Friday. What happened? Well, the major retailer opened its doors. There was a big crowd, and there was plundering and pillaging, right? I mean, that's it. That's Black Friday. There was bad behavior. People were rude in the parking lot. They were rude. Why? Because that's not Advent. That's Saturnalia. And some of you struggle this time of year. Some of you struggle this time of year because you have a disappointment about how the world works. You are longing for the simplicity of this growing light. But you are experiencing a culture that is more driven by frivolity, by habits and traditions, some of which make no sense at all. Like pushing and shoving on Black Friday. It makes no sense at all. It has nothing to do with Jesus' birth. It has everything to do with other things. Why is it? Why is it that this darkness sets in December? Why is it that you can see the behaviors right in front of your face? The indulgence, the proclivity to credit card debt at the end of the year when people don't need to carry credit card debt into 2017, but many will. Worsened health by bad eating and violation of sobriety by drinking with intensity, that there's something about December that we, many, believe we have license to live in a way that just really doesn't make sense. Some of you have started listening to that Christmas music, and again, you're already there. You're already here, and this is not your sermon. I know that. In fact, you're a little depressed that I'm bringing all this up, but I've got these other people in the room that really struggle in December. And frankly, they find the church hypocritical. They find this experience even a little like, what's the big deal? Well, Advent, the answer is the big deal is preparing not just for the birth of Christ, but for the second coming, but also just trying to get my own life to a place where I'm more like Jesus. That's Advent. And you can feel the contrast. Selfishness, as though Christmas is my birthday. As though Christmas is my birthday. And what are you getting me for Christmas? And I've got a list of things that you should get me for Christmas, because here's the deal. Here's how many of us feel. I only know it because sometimes I feel it. I mean, I'm not describing you in contrast to me. I'm describing us. Many of us feel like, pretend this is a calendar. There have been 12 months in which to honor Tom. 12 months. You've had 12 months. And now we've only got this page left, and now the days are growing short, and then this calendar will be completed. So you only have this much time to fully value me and honor me as I should have been honored. So here's a list of things that will honor me. And if they don't show up, I will be disappointed. Do you understand? When you get into that space, that's not Christmas. That's called Saturnalius. Saturnalia had a feminine ending. Saturnalia. It's odd how offended we can get in December by not being invited. Have you noticed that? When we're not invited to something, we feel disproportionately left out. Why? Because many of us really get into this thing about, I should be honored. Why am I not being honored? December, we get competitive, whether it's lights on a house, and I've got no problem with lights on a house. I'm going to put lights on our house. I love all that stuff. I really do. I like all of it. But there's, you know what I learned recently? I didn't know, but if you're a grandparent, we're not grandparents at this point. Grandparents get a little competitive at Christmas because they know that other people are going to be giving their grandchildren gifts. You know who the other people are? The other grandparents, that's right. So even that can turn south. It's not Christmas. That's Viking stuff. Words, should, have to, must, God, I've got to. No, I can't do that. I've got to. No, every year we've got this tradition and we... And listen to the tone as people use the words. That's the darkness. That's the darkness. Now, I'm for the traditions. It's how we do the traditions. There is this space of light. There is this space of light. Advent, this time of preparation, if properly pursued, when we can allow Jesus to actually take control of our lives, we can become more attentive to what it is Jesus would have me do in this moment, on this day, with this person. By the way, if you're in the dark side of Christmas, you will see objects. Objects. Decorate the house. Do the cookies. Get Johnny to this. Do that. Right? It's going to be objects. But if you are in the light side of Christmas, you will see people. Help the kids have fun at. Honor my wife at, honor my spouse at, help mom and dad have a better Christmas than last year. You'll see people. And so those things, though, will be found in silence. Can you hand me that little book there? This is an Advent guide. I showed you at the very beginning of the service, remember? You can walk out your doors, look to the left, look to the right. You're going to find one of these, one per family. I'll encourage you to take it, but I encourage you more than to take it, but to use it. Many of us take these, put them on our kitchen tables, and never open them. But you can make a little wreath like that, and you could light a candle just for yourself at night. And if your family is grouchy and they don't want to do it, just let them not do it. Like, heck with them. Seriously, like, why allow other people to set your joy? Why? Invite them. Invite them joyfully. But if they're going to be on a tear and rather than, I can't believe you won't even sit down, don't, no. But the biggest reason that these don't get used, you know why? First, let me ask you something. See that? It's a two-page deal. How long would that take you to read that verse and then read the text that follows? 3 minutes. Somebody just said 3 minutes. I want to agree with you. There's this thing called the YouVersion Bible, and you can go online and look it up, and they have these reading plans. So you can get one that'll be 10 minutes. But whether it's 3 minutes or whether it's 10 minutes, and whether it's reading the scripture or reading somebody writing about the scripture, do you know the number one reason that most of us won't do this? And by the way, can I tell you something? Most of us won't do this. This is Honesty Sunday at Flourish United Methodist Church. Because if we can't be honest here, where are we going to ever be honest? Do you know why most of us won't do this? We will say, I don't have, and that's the lie we tell ourselves. And then we're surprised, predictably, and I do this sometimes too. I just can't find the light. I just don't have the Christmas spirit. But to find the light and to find the spirit of Christ, we have to be comfortable with silence. We have to be able to take a pause. We have to make some priorities. And I'm asking you on this first day of Advent what your December is going to be about. I'm wondering what my December is going to be about, because I think many of us are like that radio announcer. We're longing for something really good. We don't quite know, but I think it's here. I think it's here, but I think the reason that many of us don't find it is our heart is at war. It's somewhere between the beauty of Advent and the distracted nature of old Roman practices. And only we can control that. So here's what I want you to think about. I've been reading this book called The Anatomy of Peace. That's a good book, by the way. The Anatomy of Peace. It's good on a lot of levels. If you interact with human beings, it's a good book. And one of the things is it talks about a diagram, and it calls it the choice diagram. And it says, every so often you get a sense that you should do something. What, you know, I've got this sense that maybe we ought to. Some of you left last week and you walked out here and you wanted to help somebody in December because that's, you know, it's a good Christmas thing, right? And we have all those tags on the Christmas tree, and you looked at your someone else, or you just thought to yourself, I've got a sense I should go pick one up. And so you can do one of two things. You can either honor the sense, and sense, by the way, the sense comes out of a desire. So sense is sort of like, I've got a sense I should. And then there's a desire that underlies that, which is like, because I want to, X, right? So let's make one up. Let's say that you've got somebody who lives down the street, and we're going to call her Miss Frances, okay? Or it could be Mr. Jake. I just make somebody up. And you realize this person, their family lives on the West Coast, and their family's not nearby. They don't have any family nearby. And their spouse died a couple years ago, and they've not been feeling very well lately, so their social circle has shrunk a little bit. And you're thinking, it's December. Whatever we feel, we will feel more of it in December, by the way. If you feel a little lonely, you'll feel twice as lonely in December. And that's in part because the days are getting shorter and it's darker. But it's also because there's a lot of pressure to feel wonderful all December. And most of us, being human and all, don't pull that off. It's just because it's not normal. So, I mean, it's normal to feel good. It's just not normal to feel good every second of the day. So you'll say, all right, Miss Frances lives down there, and maybe I should invite Miss Frances to dinner. That's my sense of what I should do. And by the way, it's not Christmas dinner. It's not a Hallmark commercial. It's just dinner. It's just like, just stop over and say, hey, would you like to come down for dinner? It's a Wednesday night. Is that everybody with me? So we can do one of things here. We can honor the sense, or we can betray the sense. Now, what does this mean? If I honor the sense, what I'm saying is I'm going to invite her to dinner, and that leads to a dinner. And by the way, I cannot predict to you whether that will be enjoyable. You won't do it because of what you're going to get. You're doing it because you had a sense that it was what you were being called to do. In the Christian world, that is the calling of God. And it's not just about what you do for a living. It's not just about big things. It's about the smallest of things that make up every single day. The calling of God. It's allowing Jesus to speak into your ear and doing the thing that Jesus would do if he lived on your block and in your home. Are you with me? So you honor the sense and you invite her to dinner, and maybe it's a wonderful dinner and it's a Hallmark commercial, and at the end a puppy brings a greeting card. I don't know. But probably it's just dinner. Probably it's just a nice evening, and you may be a little quirky, and Miss Frances may be quirky, or Mr. Jake may be quirky, but it doesn't matter. The point is, you just had dinner and it was nice. Or you can betray the sense. Now, here's the deal. This is a choice. Okay, so the two big important zones are the getting the sense and then making the choice. And if you betray the sense, this will lead to certain consequences. So if I betray the sense, I think I would like to do that, but I don't have time because it is, in fact, December and Advent, Christmas, and I've got a list, and I've still got to do this and this and this and this and this, and these things can't be done on my list and invite her to dinner, so I'm not going to do it because I'm tired and I'm a little grouchy and so on and so forth. And so I betray the sense, and now that's going to affect a couple things. It's going to affect how I see the world. Now, you will hear people in December complaining about the world a lot. Why all this pressure? Why do we have to do all these things? Why do people put all this pressure on us? Why do I need to see this person in December? I mean, why shouldn't people do that in March? And the world is an unfair place that puts unfair burdens on me in particular. And so you'll have a narrative around the world. You'll also have a narrative around how you see others. And so you'll think to yourself, wow, doesn't she have family? And they're on the West Coast, and they never come see her. And don't they know that she's sitting down there? And when you see her go to get her mail, you'll be angry at her family. Isn't that odd? People you've never even met. You'll start to get frustrated. Why? Because it has nothing to do with her family. It has to do with you. How you see others, but it'll also affect how you see yourself. I must be a pretty grouchy person. I won't even make time to do that. I must not be a very nice person. I don't really feel like doing that. Look at so-and-so. She always likes to do these things. She's a thoughtful person. I must not be a thoughtful person. How I see myself will begin to disintegrate. And then I'll have to deal with a lot of feelings. And Lord have mercy, are there not a lot of feelings in December? Wouldn't you agree? Feelings of disappointment, feelings of happiness, feelings of sadness, a lot of feelings in December. And when we have these feelings, we're going to start feeling anger and frustration and all these things because we did not honor the sense. Now, the two most important things on that little diagram, the first one is gaining the sense. When do you gain the sense of what Jesus wants you to do with your life in the month of December? When is that going to happen? It's most likely going to happen when you pause long enough to ask, what should I be doing? God. Because that's the moment when Jesus becomes Lord. Now, in the passage in Isaiah this morning, and I know you were wondering, is he ever even going to talk about that passage? And I'm like, no, probably not today, which is weird, but I'm honoring the sense of what I was supposed to do. So here we are. And in Isaiah, what it said, it said, we're at war because there are all these garments that are in blood, and it's probably speaking of the a war that happened between Syria, an alliance that Syria and Ephraim made, which was a tribe of Israel. And they had been through this terrible war and the Assyrian Empire was rising up. But we don't need all that today. I mean, right? We just don't need all that today. I just want to try to figure out December with you. But what it said is the world's at war. But there is this child that is being born. And it was probably originally a birth announcement that Isaiah was making for the royal household. And it said, even though all this junk's happening, there is this child who is the house and lineage of David, and God has not forgotten us. And he will be everlasting Father, mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The world's at war, but God is bringing us peace. Where are you going to find peace? When that child becomes your Lord and your Savior. And you start honoring the sense. And your list may not change at all. So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is pray about your list. We've all got a list right now, amen? Do you have a list? Raise your hand if you've made some list relative to the journey toward Christmas. Just raise your hand if you've got any list at all. Well, some of y'all don't even have a list. You might want to make that list. Just saying, there's a couple things that have got to happen. But it's how they happen. So one of my jobs is to take the Christmas decorations out of the attic, of which there are many. I can do it one of two ways. I can't believe I got to take these Christmas decorations out of the attic. Isn't this terrible about the Christmas decorations? Or I can just do this. I can say, won't it make Karen and Sarah happy? It'll make Karen and hey, Jesus, what's your sense of what I should be doing today? And I can just hear the Lord saying, don't complain about it. Find some joy. All these boxes that you've been moving all these years, all the memories with all your children, with your wife, what a blessing that you have this family. What a blessing that you get to celebrate. You have a house. You have an attic. You have Christmas decorations. A lot of people don't have any of that. Wow, why don't you just do it with joy? And I can either honor the sense or I can betray it and grouch and grumble. Same list. So I'm not giving you a sermon where I'm saying throw out all your lists. I'm saying, how do you do the things you do in December matters. But here's the deal. If I honor the sense, my heart will be at peace. I don't know about you, but sometimes my heart is absolutely at war with feelings and people and God. The second thing I want to encourage you to do, first pray about your list, but the second thing I want to encourage you to do is to make time and see people through the eyes of Christ, because on this side, you'll only see objects. I'm sorry, on this side. On this side, you're only going to see objects to be done, but on this side, you will see people to bless. What if we just saw not make the dinner, but what if we saw bless the friends? I've got a friend who's sitting right around here, and this individual on Christmas Day is going to bless a group of friends. What a Jesus thing to do. Honoring the sense. What's in your life? So pray about your list. See people as people. And then finally remember that Jesus said, you are the light of the world. It's interesting, in John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. But then in Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world. And I'm like, Jesus, which one is it? And I think what he's saying is, Tom, I'm the light of the world, but if I can live in you, then you can be the light of the world too. And people they never light a candle and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand where all the room can see it. So what if you were that light this week? What if you were that light all through December? But I got to tell you, Tom Berlin is a 1-watt bulb. Megan, bring the band on up here. Tom Berlin is a 1-watt bulb. Until I spend time with Jesus. And when I spend time with Jesus, I'm better. I'm just a lot better. I got to tell you, me without Jesus, not that great. But Jesus in me sometimes is such a beautiful space for me. And to the effect, to the event that it blesses some of you or some people in my home or friends, all to the good. So just take a look at the Advent wreath. Take a look at the Advent wreath. You are that one candle. But what if over the next 4 weeks you became 2 candle power and 3 candle power and 4 candle power? And what if on Christmas Day you had such joy that the light of Christ was radiant? Amen.